Daniel and the astrologers is what we want to look at today from the book of Daniel. About 600 years before Jesus was born, Nebuchadnezzar ruled over the mighty Babylonian Empire. One evening as he slept, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream in which he saw an enormous image with a head of gold, a chest of bronze, legs and feet of iron. And as he meditated on this dream the next morning, he could not imagine its meaning. So the first thing he did was call the astrologers, the soothsayers, the magicians. He said to his court, as he sat there in his throne room, "I had a dream, and I want to know what it means, but I can't recall the dream. Tell me the dream, and then explain its meaning to me." The astrologers, soothsayers, magicians said, "King Nebuchadnezzar, no one can tell you what it means, because no one can tell you what your dream was." Immediately, Nebuchadnezzar was furious, and he issued an order that all the magicians and soothsayers in the kingdom be destroyed. But there was a Hebrew man among the captives from Israel. This young man's name was Daniel. When Daniel heard that all the wise men were going to be slaughtered, he appealed to the king for more time. He sought the Lord, and God explained to Daniel the dream and its interpretation. So Daniel praised the Lord. "God, you have made known to us the meaning of the king's dream." And then, notice what Daniel said. Daniel chapter 2, verse 27 and 28.
Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come."
Here Daniel pointed out to the king that those in the occult could not help the king understand his dream or its meaning. So it basically began a battle between Daniel and the astrologers. But it was really no battle, because Daniel was going to win, for he served the true God. So Daniel and the astrologers. Well, what is astrology? The first people who began to look at the stars and the planets, they believed that these bright lights in the sun and in this moon and in all the universe represented gods. They studied the stars and thought they could find what the gods had in mind. These people became known as astrologers. Astrologer means student of the stars. These ancients believed that they could look at the stars, find the gods, and that these gods would affect and influence everything humans are and do. So they began to study the stars in order to know the future, because after all, the star was the god. They taught that you could foretell human events and a human's future by studying the stars, the position of the stars, at the moment of a person's birth. If you were born under one sign or another sign, then this was going to happen, and this was going to happen. And so this teaching began to spread throughout the world. Horoscopes are diagrams which describe the position of the planets and the stars. And so astrologers study horoscopes. They study these diagrams and believe that if you were born under a certain sign of the zodiac, then you're going to be a certain type of person, have a certain temperament, personality. These positions of the stars are recorded in what is called the zodiac. There are 12 signs of the zodiac which correspond to constellations of the universe. At least it's supposed to correspond to the constellations of the universe. So astrologers foretell the future by reading these horoscopes. Well, you know, my dad was a twin. He was a male, and his sister, Janie, were born, same mother, just a few minutes apart. They were born under the same sign. And yet, you can't even tell their brother and sister by looking at them. Their temperaments are different. Their personalities are different, although they were born under the same sign. Really, astrology is just a trickery method for deceiving the human race. In fact, let me ask Dolores to turn to Psalm 139. This is not in our notes, but I want us to read Psalm 139, which describes the way God looks at us and our creation. Psalm 139, let's read verse 13.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
It says plainly, God was involved with our conception and our formation in the womb. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Now, whenever it says, you created my inmost being, we're talking about the personality, the likes, the dislikes, the aptitudes of a person. So all this was formed, but not by stars, not by the influence of planets, but by God. Basically, astrology is a form of idolatry because you ascribe to the stars divine abilities. You ascribe to the stars abilities that only a deity can possess. So, basically, whenever we are practicers of astrology, believe in astrology, we are practicing idolatry. We are saying these stars are a substitute for the Creator. These planets and their motion and their various brightness or magnitudes become substitutes for the true God. And yet, we just read in Psalm 139, verse 13, God knit us together in our mother's womb, and He knitted together our inmost being. And then, let's read Psalm 139, verse 16. Here the scripture says,
your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Your eyes saw my unformed body. God was so involved with your gestation period that He saw your unformed body as it was coming together. And then it goes on and says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book. God recorded a beautiful plan for our lives. But it was all God's doing and had nothing to do with the influence of stars or planetary motions or bodies. In fact, in the Word of God, the Lord warns His people against us. He warns them against astrology. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth Old Testament book, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 19. And here it says,
when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping.
Do not be enticed to bowing down and worshiping all the stars, the sun, the moon, the universe. You see, the Israelis came out of Egypt, Egyptian bondage. And Egypt from ancient times worshipped planetary bodies, the main god of the Egyptians was the sun god, Ra. And so God was warning his people, you came out of Egypt, now I want to get Egypt out of you. Don't pay any attention to the teaching that planetary bodies, whether they be stars, pulsars, black holes, whatever you want to call it, they have nothing to do with your life, so don't worship them and recognize them as deities. And then we go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. Notice what it says.
This is what the Lord says. Do not learn the ways of the nations, or be terrified by signs in the sky, though the nations are terrified by them, for the customs of the peoples are worthless.
Do not be terrified, it says, and do not be influenced by this teaching, the customs of the people, that say that all the universe is controlled by gods represented by stars. So the ancients were amazed at the movement of the universe, the observable universe. So God was saying, you can be amazed by it, but you cannot worship it. Listen to what happened to people who ignored God's warning against astrology. God's people, he brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of bondage that they might serve him. But sure enough, they paid attention to the customs and the teachings of the people. They bowed down to the starry host. They followed the signs of the zodiac. They consulted their horoscopes. And God said, here's what's going to happen to you. And it sure enough, it happened. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse number 16.
They forsook all the commands of the Lord their God and bowed down to all the starry hosts.
They forsook all the commands of the Lord. So, brother, sister, we have to make a choice. Are we going to follow God's word, honor God's word, obey God's word, or our alternative is astrology? You can't have it both ways. Jesus told us, if you are for me, you can't be against me. If you're against me, you cannot be for me. So there's no neutral ground. We must all make a choice. And astrology and Christianity cannot be intermingled. Listen to this warning. The book of Amos, chapter 5, verse number 26.
You have lifted up the star of your God, which you made for yourselves.
Here God said, you, my people, you descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you lifted up the star of your God. And they lifted up that star, and they began to fall into the customs of all the people. They began to be turned aside from the commands of the Lord, from the books of Moses, from the Psalms, from the Proverbs, and followed after heathen teaching. God's judgment upon Israel came about. Every time God gives a warning, he also couples with that warning the consequences of disobedience. He told the people, if you disobey, and if you follow after astrology and reject my word, here's what's going to happen. You will be exiled. Let's look at the book of Amos now, chapter 5 again. This time we're going to read verse 26 and verse 27.
You have lifted up the star of your God, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty.
God warned them, I will send you into exile. Well, that's exactly what happened under King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a heathen king. He was not at all influenced by Judaism, by belief in an invisible God. In fact, as we shall see, Babylon was steeped in astrology and the occult. But the difference was, that God's people had God's word, and the people of the Lord had prophets who warned them, who preached to them. But they ignored God's warning, and consequently, God sinned against his people, the Babylonian armies. They demolished Jerusalem. They killed perhaps tens of thousands of Jewish people. And they carried the remainder of the Jews into exile and scattered them throughout the Babylonian Empire. Well, brother, sister, we must heed the warnings. You should teach your children. You should teach your grandchildren against astrology. You should let them know about the occult. You should go to the Word and show them in the Word what it says about astrologers, seances, witches, warlocks, because they don't know any better. So many of our school teachers, so many of our school administration, even many of our people in the churches, they are involved in the occult. Maybe they're just dabbling in it. Maybe they read their horoscope every day and say, oh, it's just for fun. No, you shouldn't even be doing it for fun. So your children need to be warned, just like God warned his people. Let's not sweep it under the rug, but let's give our kids a chance to know the truth about the Word and astrology. Well, we've seen God's pronouncement of judgment upon Israel. Now, let's see what God pronounces upon Babylon. He pronounced judgment upon an ancient empire. In fact, all empires, all governments that give themselves to the occult will eventually be demolished. Because in giving yourself to the occult, you're giving yourself to the destroyer. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, and that the evil one has come to steal and to destroy. Well, here God was pronouncing judgment upon the Babylonian Empire. Let's go to the book of Isaiah now, chapter 47. We're going to read part of verse 13, 14, and 15.
Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power of the flame. Each of them goes on in his error. There is not one that can save you.
Okay, let's reread the first part of this verse. Notice who this judgment was pronounced upon.
Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you.
So there, God was very, very plain. Let the astrologers try to save you. Those stargazers who make predictions month by month according to the signs of the zodiac. God said, they can't help you. Because you see, after conquering Israel and the known world, the Babylonian Empire itself fell to the next empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. And God was saying, hey, the astrologers can't help you. So you see, Daniel was called into the king's presence, King Nebuchadnezzar. The astrologers had said to the king, we cannot tell you what your dream is, and consequently we cannot predict its meaning. But Daniel said, there's a God in heaven. He knows everything about everything. And so I will make known to you your dream and its interpretation. And then Daniel stood there in the middle of all of these astrologers and magicians and soothsayers and said, King, here's your dream. And he accurately described the king's dream to him in detail. The king was astonished. And then Daniel continued with the interpretation. And King Nebuchadnezzar realized that astrologers are valueless. They are worthless. They can't predict the future. They can't tell you what your children's personalities are going to be like. It's just a myth. Well, the Scripture does talk about the message of the universe, the stars, the moon, all the planetary bodies that we so wonderfully enjoy. Let's go to the Word now. Let's see the true message of the stars, the constellations, the galaxies. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands.
Isn't that beautiful? Let's read that again. Here it tells you what the stars really represent.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands.
It all describes the work of your God's hands. Whenever we look up in the sky at night, or watch the sun in the day, or a comet, we are looking at God's handiwork. We are looking at what He made because He planned it with His infinite genius and brought it to pass by His infinite power. Psalm 19, verses 2, 3, and 4.
Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world.
Here it declares that the stars and the moon and all the heavenly bodies have a speech. They pour forth language day after day, night after night. They are speaking to mankind. There is a Creator. All this intricacy, all this vastness could not merely happen by chance or evolutionary influence. No, it was the Creator who set all these heavenly bodies in place. And so, these objects in the sky do not in the least influence what we are like in our personalities, in our bodies. They do not at all influence our future. Our future is not determined by the skies. Our future is influenced only by God and His will for our lives. So, let's go to Psalm number 8, verse number 3.
I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place.
Did you hear that? I consider your heavens, the work of your hands. He was attributing to God the creatorship behind all things that he observed in the skies. They are for God's glory. They are to turn our attention to God. The ancients took God's glory and corrupted it and diminished it and said, oh, these objects in the sky, they must be gods. But that's just the way the human nature works, the human nature that we're not going to worship, the human nature that we're going to avoid as we worship our God, the Creator of all things. Let's go to Psalm 97, verse number 6. Here the Scripture says,
the heavens proclaim His righteousness, and all the peoples see His glory.
All the peoples see His glory as the heavens declare God's righteousness, God's goodness, God's power, God's vastness. Now, let's go back even further in time. Let's go back to the time whenever God brought everything into being. Genesis, please. Chapter 1, verse number 14. Notice what it says.
And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years.
Okay, let's read it again, please, Dee.
God said that there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night.
Okay. Let there be light in the skies, separating day from night. And then he went on.
And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years.
There it is. Let them serve as signs, but not signs of the zodiac. Signs to mark seasons, days, and years. In other words, God said, these planetary bodies move in such precise ways that you can set time by their movement. There are to be signs to mark seasons, days, and years. So the true message of the stars is God's greatness, God's magnitude, God's vastness, and God's love for you and me. The universe is a display of His splendor. Everything from the subatomic particle to the vastness of all the galaxies that fill what we call universe. All of this is a display of His genius, of His power, and of His love. So, brothers and sisters, on Halloween night, let's worship Jesus. Let's rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus and worship the Jesus who saved us by His blood. Astrology offers us nothing except ruin. Jesus offers us everything, including eternal life. Let's go to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we love You so much, and we acknowledge that all things were created by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We acknowledge God as Creator, as Maker, as the Builder of all things, and that nothing He made possesses any divine qualities. That astrology, horoscopes, the zodiac, soothsayers, mediums, it's all of the devil and nothing come from God. Jesus, we love You. We praise You. Father, protect Christians from this false teaching of astrology. And God, help parents and churches teach youth and children of the truth about the meaning of the stars, for they truly are signs of our God's greatness. In Your beautiful name, Jesus, amen.